The National Institutes of Health is revving up a program and giving it a new name. The Precision Medicine Initiative is now called the All of Us Research Program. It seeks health data from at least 1 million Americans to be combined and made available to researchers. Chris Lunt is the new Chief Technology Officer for that program, and he joins me now. Mr. Lunt, good to have you on.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be here.
Tell us what this program is all about fundamentally.
The All of Us Research Program is going to bring together a community of 1 million people who are going to provide information about their health, about their lifestyle, about the environment that they live in. And then we're going to take all of that information, strip out all the personal information, and put that in the hands of researchers so that they can use that data to understand the unique factors that affect people's individual health. So, and the way you can think about this is that if you get a pair of glasses, those lenses are made for you. When we measure your eyes, we grind the lenses just for you. Most medicine is not that way. You get the same pill that everybody else gets. And we want to get to the point where we can understand, knowing you, your body, your history, that we can give medicine that's just for you.
It sounds like something that builds on the scale of the Framingham Heart Study.
It's certainly one of the precursors that helped us to understand how you do something like that. And particularly important for Framingham is the length of that study. So not only do we want the study to be very wide, to have 1 million people in it, but we want it to be something where we have a long-term engagement with everybody.
And looking at the video at the NIH website about this, it stresses racial diversity. Is there evidence that individualization of medicine can be predicated on racial disparities, or is it?
It's more than just race. It's a number of different factors that if you historically, when we've gone to get data, we have over-collected data from sort of wealthy, white, male sources. And that's one of the things we want to do is show that we have really a gap. We're missing an understanding of, yes, racially specific health outcomes that we're hoping to correct.
So it sounds like the database would be big enough such that you could look at white wealthy males versus white black or white Asian or white whatever males. And you could also look at white healthy males or black healthy males that are wealthy versus their counterparts that are poor.
Yes, both, yes, urban and rural, wealthy and not wealthy, differences between different regions of the country. Because as we talked about before, environment and lifestyle are part of this too. So a chance to even understand how that affects people's health.
And where does the program stand at this point?
So at this point, we have almost 500 people who are signed up, who've given all the consent, who've come in and had measurements taken, who've given blood samples. And this is the beta phase where we're learning about how do we engage with this community? How do we motivate them to become interested, to be willing to participate, and to stay engaged?
And how will you get variations in lifestyle? I can see it's obvious how you can get variations in racial background and so forth, but even religion. But what about ways of living?
You know, I think one of the things that we're doing in this early phase is as we bring people on board, is to be able to look at the data that we've gathered and understand, you know, are there gaps? Are there places with working with, say, particular health systems that are helping us to bring people on that have a particular set of people that we want to get more of that data to then reach out to them and try and help them to get even more people to come in?
You have to make sure that people are honest about what they report about themselves, whether they smoke, whether they eat fried food or whatever the case might be.
Yeah. And traditionally that's always been tricky because I think there's a desire by people not to pony up to that. I think the other hope is that, again, with the breadth of this study, with 1 million people in, that over time the amount of sort of the error bars start to shrink, like that the amount that people sort of misreporting data becomes less of a factor because you have so much data to work with.
And how are you recruiting to get to 1 million? That's a big number.
It is. And so it's really, there's two major areas that we're dealing with that. One is that we're working, as I mentioned, with health systems. We're working with the VA to bring in veterans. We're working with regional medical centers. We're working with federally qualified health centers. And they have an existing relationship with the patient population and often a trust relationship with that population that we then work with them to try and transfer that trust to us as well. And then we're also doing direct volunteers, going out and recruiting people who come on individually and doing that. And right now, again, early in the program, we're sort of exploring the different ways that we can do that and what works and doesn't work. Can we do that on social media? Can we do that through radio? Can we do that through television? Getting those people to join in, and then making sure that we can sort of control the balance over time.
We're speaking with Chris Lunt. He's Chief Technology Officer for the All of Us Research Program at the NIH. And you are the Chief Technology Officer, so I imagine getting data in so many formats and from so many sources is a real data challenge to make it normalized, equalized, so such that it's useful to eventual researchers.
It is. And we're not the only people sort of facing this challenge. And that's one of the advantages for us of working in the NIH, is there are a lot of other groups that have been working with us for a while, and they've been very supportive for helping us on this effort.
What are some of the data challenges?
Well, part of the program is that we're bringing in everybody's medical history by going out and getting their electronic health records. But as you can imagine, each of the different hospitals we deal with often has a different system for doing that, a different way of storing that data, so that we need to standardize the way that we do that. I think one of the reasons that this really is such an exciting time for this program to be starting is that you've seen such a shift in the last, say, 10 years in our ability to bring computational power to problems like this, that something, say, you know, back in the 1980s, that would look insurmountable, you know, that you had big stacks of paper records that you had to bring from one place and try and bring in and deal with. Now it's already electronic, and now we have really the computational power to then just transform that into the format that we need.
Will there be one big database, data warehouse, I should say, of unstructured and structured data from all these systems and self-reporting by people?
That's right. And I think, and you found sort of one of those good places where there's a division, there's both that raw data that comes in that we bring in whatever form it is, and then we have a curated data repository. And that's also part of managing the security of the program, that recognizing that we have to be able to sort of strip out anything that's personal out of that before we put it into the hands of researchers. So a careful process of taking it in and having that really protected and then pulling out the things that can be shared.
And even though it will be one massive set of data, will there be different data sets that researchers can use, because not everyone will need to see everything?
That's right. And also, one of the things that we're doing as a program right now here in this beta phase is beginning to engage with the researcher community to understand what are the tools that you need to use to be successful, what are the most valuable pieces of data for us, and really, what are the scientific opportunities? What are the places where we're on the edge of understanding something about human health that we didn't understand before? And then what can we do in terms of bringing you data sets that may push us over the line into some new place?
Now, a lot of data analytical engines have come out in recent years, tools for data analysis, and also online services like IBM and some of its competitors. Will this data be subject to analysis by those kinds of, I guess, artificial intelligence engines also?
Yes, and that's a particular interest of mine. I think we've seen so much progress in machine learning in the last 10 years, and that there have been, for example, Google, not that long ago, identified a way through machine learning to be able to look at a retinal scan and tell if someone's going to go blind from diabetes, in many cases before a human can see that that's true. And I think there's many opportunities like that that are going to come to us as the data sets get larger, that we're going to have the capacity to see things, to diagnose things in ways that people were never able to do just by themselves.
And what do you see as the possible challenges or warnings in this whole program?
Well, I mean, there are many challenges, obviously, around you know, this data is so valuable, and so that there's real risk for us in terms of that people will want to get access to that data in ways that would be inappropriate, and so really protecting the security and privacy of that information is very important to us. And I think also then working with a group of people this large with such a diverse set of backgrounds presents a set of challenges in terms of getting that long-term engagement, getting people not only to come in and give us, say, that health information up front, but to give us, you know, over time, a lifetime of health so that we can understand how decisions made about diet and sleep and behavior early on have impacts down the road.
Chris Lunt is the Chief Technology Officer for the All of Us Research Program at the NIH. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom.
Find a link to more information and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.